Hi, this is Carrie Cassidy and Bill Ryan from Project Avalon and Project Camelot. And today is September 22nd, 2008, and we are here with George Green. And we are very happy to be talking with him today. George, why don't you update us as to what's going on with the U.S. economy and possibly some other things?
Carrie, the economy is kind of an oxymoron today because it's all coming apart at the seams. One of the problems that we have today is the definition of money, which nobody can identify, frankly, and the meltdown of not only the dollar, but trade throughout the whole world. Many countries, and I just talked to some other ones, are not willing to take the dollar in exchange for goods at this minute. China and Russia are meeting right now, trying to create some new kind of basis of a currency so they can use for exchange. The Russian warships are moving, these are nuclear warships, are heading down towards Venezuela. We just got through having one of the Russian drones that over Georgia was just shot down by Georgia. That was just a couple hours ago. We also have warships moving into the Mediterranean. Meanwhile, the dollar itself, the bailout program, is unprecedented because they're talking about giving away, my sources are saying, up to $1.5 trillion if they can find a buyer for this currency to liquidate private industry, basically, and protect the bankers. The Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac people, I mean, they've taken out like $100 million just for their own personal benefits, their houses and everything else before this debacle happened.
So what do you think this the movement to Venezuela of Russian warships is all about?
Well, I'm trying an overview. If you've got the world meltdown happening, you've got politics happening, both of the so-called candidates for presidency trying to keep people really confused, Carrie. The situation is that we have we're kind of like the old saying of the barrel going over Niagara Falls. Well, we've gone over Niagara Falls. Now the question is going to hit. Since we have a bankrupt country, a bankrupt currency, what other country is going to do with that to accept goods if we're going to have some? Well, you know that then they're not going to transfer. I mean, it's just that's obvious. I mean, when China said, look, if you want to buy our goods, you pay us in some other currency. Now the question is, how do you transfer a dollar to some other currency since all the other countries are afraid? Meanwhile, the crew, Paulson, et cetera, are working with the banks up there to protect the bankers. Now, we got the next problem is the American public for, you know, a long time has been geared up that stocks are money. Well, that's been a trading vehicle, but they're really not money. That's just a gambling casino that's set up here. We trade a piece of paper, you know, allegedly saying it's worth something. But if they can arbitrarily move like they did a week ago, United Airlines stock down to where it was basically worthless in one day and then bring it back up again, you know they're manipulating the game, and that's the Plunge Committee in New York. The Plunge Committee there are members of the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department to make sure that the market doesn't collapse all its way. And I'm predicting the market will go back down to 8,500 here very shortly. I mean, it's down again today. And it will continue to, because people are going to try, they're running to the liquidity. The next thing they're looking to is to get physical possession of something. That's the reason why gold and silver right now is hard to get a hold of. It's not a question of being there. I was at the silver conference the last couple of days with the world silver mines. The problem is, like silver is trading roughly, I mean, to buy it's around $14 today. The problem is that the processed silver, if you want to look at it, or fabricated silver is hard to get. I can get all kinds of 1,000-ounce bars, but you can't use that for trading stock. Then, meanwhile, I just got notification that a couple of countries in Latin America are considering creating their own currency now because the dollar is going down. They're actually working on them this minute. I'm working on a couple of them with a couple of the countries down there to try to get gold and silver as the backing for the currency to make it what we call a substantial thing. As long as they're willing to take the dollar, then you can trade it. So the other things that are happening, many people are trying to acquire the raw materials. Well, raw materials may be 2 months delivery or 3 months delivery. That's the basis of the options right now. Or people having physical. That's the meltdown of the market that we're looking at. And the meltdown of the people looking at what's a piece of paper called a stock worth. and how can they manipulate the price? I mean, like an emergency, you lived in a house right now, and you had to go sell it today, and if there's no lenders out there, what does that mean?
What exactly is going to happen if the dollar is basically not transferable around the world? In other words, they won't take it. Then who cares what, I mean, I don't even know how the stock market can be holding its own within a situation like that.
Well, I can't. All you have to do is trade 100 shares in a stock, Carrie, and just 100 shares, that'll give you an arbitrary value of all the rest of the millions that are out there. So just a few shares traded between a couple of brokers or manipulating the market as such will tell everybody, this is really good. Name me a company that makes money in the stock market. The stock market is just stocks trading between each other. The physical reality, you have people like General Motors and Ford and whatever are asking for a $25 billion bailout in this new program they're trying to put together in the bailout of the bankers themselves. And yet they want the American taxpayer to take it over, but they're not telling you the truth. The September 30th, I think we've mentioned it before, is the fiscal year of the United States. Well, that's only, you know, less a week away, right? The question that they have is when they admit debt, if they admit it, because nobody's ever audited this material, they don't tell you what the debt is from next year and the next year because they make these long-term commitments on bonds. The truth is, and my feeling is, that we're probably a couple hundred trillion in derivatives out of the wind right now, which is basically the collapse of the bankruptcy of the United States. And if we go bankrupt, that's the reason why I think the Bank of International Settlements is so important. They want to audit the Federal Reserve because the Federal Reserve has been pushing money out, keeping our country going, $2 billion a day. If they're doing that, then the next question is, what does the little guy on the street do? And I'm urging them, if they have some old appliances, go buy some new ones right now to get ready for when this meltdown happens, there won't be any distribution in goods. My sources are telling me, like Kmart and Sears, aren't declaring their sales right now because they're so far down. Now, they come out of bankruptcy, you know, they merged, and I expect them to go back in bankruptcy. I was at a meeting with the shopping center people. 40% of the shopping centers right now are basically empty. They're running out of people in here in order to pay their rents or mortgages back to the people. So we have a combination problem that is just melting down in front of everybody. Now, what can we do about it? Get your food stored up.
But we actually got a communique last night saying that people around the country are having trouble actually buying gas. Have you heard that?
Yes, of course. Two things. The gas is available. It's like it's the problem of the distribution of it because of electricity and the trucks and the rest of it getting it across the country. So we know that gasoline is going to go up in value. You're going to probably be on par with Europe before long, $8 or $9 a gallon. If we can get it, we're still importing 70% of our gasoline products in the United States. If we were to start a new refinery in the United States, it'd be 3.5 to 4 years before it come to fruition. Meanwhile, how do you get this stuff processed? Most of the oil in Alaska, for instance, goes on huge tankers to Japan, which basically has kept them afloat because they process that high sulfur oil. Meanwhile, Latin America has been selling their oil to Mexico. Mexico imports 40% of its oil right now, and the, what do you call it, the peak oil, says that it will probably be out of oil itself within the next 4 to 5 years. Not that they don't have agreements with Brazil and other ones to do offshore drilling. They just don't have the ability to transfer it, and they're exporting 30% of what they import, and what they're doing is marking up the oil prices back to the United States. Now, the wild card in this is China. China's coming in with, you know, they're trillions of dollars. They have $1.4 trillion, and they had $400 billion invested in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they're very upset about this. In fact, their military said if the dollar collapses, they will consider it an act of war.
What about the Japanese? I thought the Japanese were set to bail us out on some level.
Well, the Japanese have, between Japan and China, they have over, you know, $2 trillion of our debt. So how do you bail it out with IOUs? See, that's all we're doing is trading debt for debt.
Right.
The whole thing is in debt. So maybe we owe them, and they've been buying our treasuries to keep us afloat. Well, they've already got treasuries. They don't have any more themselves because their economy is in trouble right now. This is a world meltdown right now. Many countries are upset about the thing. There are very few of them that are very stable. Even Switzerland right now is in they're getting all kinds of money that's being transferred to them for so-called safety. Well, when they get the money transferred, where do they put it? You understand?
Where do they put it?
Well, if you put $1 million into a bank only operates because if it can loan it out. Where would they loan it to? You know, what instruments are out there that would be considered safe enough to say, hey, I'm going to save your money, but what if the dollar is in dollar denominations? It's like EverBank down in Florida will take your dollar and put it into a basket of currencies. Now you have to figure out which country you want to have your, quote, currency in or your money. They'll float it back and forth. You know, that's a good way of safety. The trouble is all the countries are having troubles right now. What is a safe currency? And that's something you have to really analyze.
Isn't the overall agenda, this is part of the whole Illuminati agenda to bring down the U.S. dollar and the U.S. in general so that they can put in the one world government. And all the currencies are going to be at risk in a one world government, basically, because until they decide whatever that one world currency is going to be. I mean, aren't we just looking at something like that down the line?
Well, Carrie, there are two things that go down. If we can get everybody diverted to looking at the money meltdown, then the next step is going to happen within, and I predicted it will probably call a national emergency, but they're going to begin World War III. This is a happening stance. Since we got the world out of whack, got everybody's confused, let's get a world war going. So World War III is ready, and this is all part of their population reduction program.
Right, so you distract the population. I mean, obviously, I mean, our thought was they were going to distract the population with the war such that the currency would, you know, they'd take their eyes off the currency because, at least in the United States, people are going to be focused on the economy. That's always first on their list, right? If we go to war with another country, they're going to look over there, but basically their concern is going to be with the economy.
Well, the transfer of goods, exactly right. But remember, foreign countries aren't going to take the dollar. So we're going to have two types of dollars. One, foreigners are going to look at whatever that's going to be secured. Right now, they're confused because they don't want to take them. The second one is the one that you and I are going to be trading here in the stores temporarily. Meanwhile, when I was with the head of a supermarket chain the other day, he's expecting produce and stuff to go up 40% over the next 90 days. In other words, you used to be able to buy, you know, a dozen oranges for a dollar. Now they're a dollar a piece.
So where does it end? We're looking down sort of down a tunnel, and I see that they're trying to get certain, it's like playing with Monopoly money at this point.
Well, I told you, I've said this before, it's a huge Monopoly game, but they own the game. Now, how are they making the steps and how they're putting it together? I think, I was with a congressman yesterday for lunch, a representative, and we were discussing that. Their information I'm getting from Washington, these are the Washington representatives, they say in 6 months you won't recognize the American currency. This is what I'm getting directly from the senators.
Okay, so you're talking about food shortages, no transportation of food. Is this what we're looking at?
That's exactly correct. Also, since most of the goods that we have in the supermarkets or Walmart or whatever, like the physical items, if you've got a toaster that's 10 years old that's on the blink, go out and buy a new one because it won't be available. I mean, you can buy them real cheap right now. Converting your dollar into some kind of asset. And gold and silver, for instance, has always been the situation. And there's plenty of silver available. However, there's only a five-month supply in silver on a world market. You have a world market on all this stuff. The trouble is with silver, right at the minute, is the fabricated products. Gold, meanwhile, the Treasury is way behind on producing it. And it's only producing a little bit of the gold eagle, which is exempt under the Patriot Act. Now, they have all kinds of regulations that they're getting ready to put in right now. For instance, PayPal. PayPal is a payment organization that used up under eBay. PayPal had so much cash, it invested into the market itself. So you tell me how substantial their asset base is. And if you've got PayPal accounts, get them into cash.
Yeah. Well, what happens if, I mean, my understanding is that WAMU owns PayPal, and WAMU is basically in the tank. It could go under any day.
That's correct.
So what happens to PayPal when WAMU goes down?
Then what we're going to have is that's another quasi-banking thing, and that's what they're looking at in Washington right now with this new bailout, all of the so-called financial institutions. Well, PayPal is a private organization, and they're trying to bail out all these things to keep an even transfer of goods and stuff, but it's not going to be even now. We're going to have all kinds of meltdowns, just like you're talking about. People are going to have gasoline, or they're not going to have it. In Houston, for instance, downtown, well, the Galleria, they had no power until yesterday, within two blocks of the Galleria, for weeks since the storm. There's amazing economic consequences to all of this. People are just not traveling. They're not doing anything, and then the storms are messing up. We don't have the money to take care of it. I don't know if you know this, the stuff that happened in Florida 5 years ago and the last storms down there, these cities haven't been rebuilt. There's no money. And then they're asking for people to come out under this new bailout program, no Social Security to get a loan, that is, if the property would qualify, just to keep an illusion of money out there that they can sell to somebody else that we're already in debt to. That's foreign governments. And now Paulson said on TV, hey, we're going to bail out the foreign banks that have our paper. Now, when is the American people going to wake up to what's going on? The monopoly game is over. Somebody else owns it, and somebody else is going to be answering to a higher power. And the American people, they're just pawns in the game.
Who is this higher power? That's what we want to know. And, you know, where are they going to run with it next? You're talking also about layoffs, aren't you, in companies? Because at this point, it's kind of hidden from the American people. But I think that the, you know, obviously there's got to be a huge unemployment rate.
Carrie, the real reality is when they lay off people or buy them out or whatever they're doing across the country, they left this big gap. Our problem in the United States, 50% of the people, or half of, you know, 150 million people are over age 50. Where are these people going to go because all their pension funds are gone? They're going to be looking to Social Security, and Social Security funds are gone. They've been all borrowed by, the Treasury. They issuing them, you know, IOUs back to Social Security. So it'll keep it going for a while. But this whole thing is coming apart in every direction. People's pension funds, like the airlines, their pension funds are gone. All of the automobile companies' pension funds were sold or transferred, basically, to the unions up there, but they weren't feasible anyway. Inflation, and they don't tell the people the truth on that, it's the old story. You know, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And that, like what you just said, there's massive unemployment. I don't have the exact figures. We've been trying to get to those, but we expect that that's over 14%, the same as the inflation rate. Inflation rate's going up. So if you got an arbitrary rate of 12%, if you want to, that means the goods will cost in 6 years twice as much as they will today at 12%. That also means the dollar will go down in that value. It'll be worth 50 cents on the dollar. So what can you have that offsets that? Well, it have to have a 24% return to break even. With between inflation and return, that only means one thing, total collapse of the system as we know it. For instance, right now, you and I are talking, and the Dow's down 120-some points. Gold and silver off slightly because this is controlled by the option market. But the truth is, see what you can do to acquire physical gold and physical silver and hold it because that'll be your trading stock.
But you can't eat money, right? So in the end, I mean, I can see how we can trade these dollars, even though they don't mean much outside the country. But if I'm traveling, what happens to my dollar when I go overseas? Because I will be going overseas shortly, and I want to transfer that into another currency. Are they going to allow it? Obviously, the worth of the dollar is going to be down. You say it's maybe 50 cents on the dollar. But is it actually 50 cents on the dollar outside the country, or is it worse?
Well, it's worse. It's up to the country, and it's up to the bank to transfer it. Most everything runs through Chase right now, transferring through the world. And what they're doing, anything over $10,000, they're really checking it out, even if they'll allow the transfer. Carrie, believe it or not, I went over to Bank of America, which is a small place. And by the way, they're in the top 100 list of banks that may fail, according to FDIC. I pulled out $2,500 in cash in small bills because I didn't want anything over 50 because hundreds aren't accepted overseas. So what you look at, I was trying to get the bill, but I took all their cash. Now, it happened to be an oddball time. They said, wait till Monday, we'll get our new supply of money. But they don't have it. And so what they're looking at, we're looking at systems. People are offering, you know, debit cards, this kind of stuff. But that's also the same kind of a deal. How does MasterCard and Visa, since that's the world's money, you can use it anywhere right now, right? These are either created by debts or they're created by debits, one way or the other. Now to transfer to into other countries, which is the real problem, and into what currency? Now that's up to the Bank of International Settlements, who controls all of this stuff out of Switzerland.
Okay, but are we still in the state where they are not coming in until after George Bush leaves office. I mean, that's...
That's the Bank of International Settlements got approval to audit the Federal Reserve after Bush gets out of office. What's the definition of out of office? As soon as the election's over? What if he calls a national emergency or we get a war started? Then all of that, his agreements then become mute because, A, he won't be out of office. B, we won't have an election. And that at that point, we'll become a socialist state.
We understand that the possibility that the election may be postponed for several months is a real one. I mean, I'm sure you've heard about the October surprise, the things that are going around about October. I mean, have you heard anything personally from your insiders about this particular month and some of the things that might be coming down?
Well, again, October is merely the date because it's right before the election time. And so they're going to make some kind of plans that come up, and Kerry, I'll probably know more in the next couple of weeks. They're more concerned right now with the economic mainstream and how to keep the people asleep because of what,
right.
Seriously,
yeah,
and people are totally asleep. They have no idea. They go on about their business. They'll still run down, and my comment from the people, even my own kids, it'll be okay. They'll get it all taken care of, and they want to keep on living their la-la land.
But it's a fallacy. I mean, this thing called bailout is absolutely an illusion. I mean, there's nothing behind the bailout.
No, but giving one man a total power of about $1.5 trillion. I mean, they're asking for $750 or $850 billion a day in Congress. The congressmen are starting to look at the things because how can you tell in 24 hours what is going to go on and how they're going to give this money out? And if it's a debt, then who's going to give them the money to do that? They say, well, we're going to get rescued from foreign countries. Well, you probably know Barclays and a couple other ones were going to pick up some of the Main Street houses, and at the last minute on a Sunday, all of a sudden, they're merged in with Bank of America or somebody else, and foreign governments were willing to come in to protect themselves. Well, right now, that's off the table. There isn't going to be any protection of the dollar from ones. And what is Bernanke and et cetera and Paulson are saying now, we're going to go ahead and protect foreign banks. So what's happening is the whole world's melting down, as you and I are talking about, and how are we going to be able to exchange goods? It's the old story of being over in Hawaii. I have friends there where they, when they get goods, it all comes in on a ship. Well, if the ship doesn't come in, how are they going to survive on these little islands? That's the whole problem.
Right. Islands are going to be in real dire straits. So what is going on, I mean, from your perspective, like, let's stand back even further and look at it from a spiritual perspective. Are you getting any information from your contacts?
Oh, what, you mean off planet?
Or whatever?
No, my contacts are above the Pleiadians, and what they're basically saying, get ready for World War III, which is going to last about 4 years and 3 months.
How can to war, though? I mean, is this going to be the bailout for the U.S. economy like it's been in the past? In other words, to rev up the military machine? I mean, my experience has told me that a lot of the military companies are doing better than they've ever done before. I mean, they're building and they're selling and this war machine massively all over the world. Deals for high-tech machinery and planes and whatnot.
Well, that's it. Get the war going again, and everybody's got the product to go to do all this stuff. The problem, is we'll begin World War III, part of their population reduction program. And, I mean, they put the guidestones up there in Georgia to say, hey, they've done it already, right? They want to get 500 million people, 20 million Americans. There's 300 million people in the United States. In the end, the United States is basically bankrupt, and what we've done is taken most of the world's goods on debt and say, yeah. Other countries have allowed this. Well, they worked on a trade and hoping there would be some stability. Well, how come China and Russia are meeting today as we speak, trying to create something new? They have economies that are going up. They have more people, well, as you know, about 4.5 times the population in China alone. And half of them are basically middle class at this point, and they're able to export goods because we're buying them. And same thing with India.
Right, but if we're not buying those goods because we can't afford it, what happens then?
Well, we have 4% of the world's population. Forget it. Goodbye, United States. That's the end of the 200-year so-called democracy. That it's the end of its cycle. It's kind of like the end of the game. In order to keep the game going, they got to get a war started. Now, what's going to end up after that? Kerry, it appears that we're going to have massive confusion, and it's probably going to be smart like what you guys are doing, head south Australia, where the inner circle is going to hide out.
Really, in Australia. I mean, we're going there for a conference, so, you know, we're not going there to live. But you're saying that this might be a country that is viable in the long term?
In the long run, that's what they're looking at. It's got a lot of problems down there, too, you know, weather and everything else. But they will be able to be viable. They'll be in the southern hemisphere. They won't be the reactions from the nuclear radiation, et cetera, down there. Because they're planning, look, they tell you that they're using nuclear right now. They tell you that they're moving a nuclear ship down to Venezuela right now. This is the Soviets. And they're loaded. They have 22,000 nuclear warheads. There's no treaty on the board. And when Condoleezza Rice told the Soviets to lay off of Georgia right now, they're ignoring all of that because they know where the power is. And Russia provides Europe with, what, 65% of its energy from oil and gas. They can shut that whole thing down right away. It becomes a huge economic game.
Okay, but our understanding is that the ETs are not going to allow for nuclear war. What do you think about that?
Well, I've been told that. It bothers the ETs and great, you know, they have plans too. And what they're looking at, every time a nuclear bomb goes off, there's always, it publicly we'll hear about, there's always an ET craft around monitoring it. And we're also in the process of, you know, Planet X coming by in the next, whatever it's going to be, 15 or 20 years. Which that energy is going to be affecting the planet, too. So this is a pivotal point, the ending of this cycle, if you want to, the end of this age and moving into the Aquarian Age. And all of this information and data, I mean, you can get a lot of it from the World Watch Institute in Washington, D.C. on the physical reality. Most people don't care. I mean, their mailing list is less than 5,000 people in the whole world. They keep in track of everything, the air, the water, the whole game, the increase of the population today is over. I mean, just pick, use your Google and Google population clock, and you'll be able to see that we're at approximately 6.8 billion people. The net increase is 200,000 a day, or 2 million every 10 days, or 5 million every month. Meanwhile, we got 5,000 airplanes flying in the air at 30 to 36,000 feet, spewing out fumes and everything else across the United States, 25,000 around the planet. We're just consuming all the goods and the what I call the heat factor on the planet, and we're reducing the whole thing to a total mess. So they have to go ahead with the Global 2000 agenda, and I can say I sat in on that, and that's 30 years ago. Remember, the plan was to get a war started in the Middle East in the year 2000. Well, we haven't seen it open up yet, but I bet you it's going to be coming up here, and that may be your October surprise that you're talking about.
Well, we just interviewed Bob Dean, and he's also talking about Planet X as a reality and that it's incoming. And he had some pretty outrageous information in regard to that. He apparently is getting his own contact, ET contacts, which he terms the Anunnaki. Apparently there's a good faction and a bad faction, just as Zachariah Sitchin was talking about. And he's also got insider contacts going way back at the Pentagon and so on. And basically, he says they're scared to death about the impact of Planet X.
Well, you know, we have to look at it. We were basically engineered, if you want to look at it, by Anunnaki and other extraterrestrials. I mean, our DNA can be really easily programmed, and our government is totally aware of the DNA programmings. That's, you know, putting down all of the factions of controlling your size, shape, color, how long you're going to live, and everything else. This is all part of the situation. If you can get people to understand that we were engineered as a huge, basically, an experiment. Planet Earth is the prison planet. And are the Anunnaki going to come back? And what are they going to do? This is a question of the energies of the universe. And my understanding is that in the next 30 years, we're going to have a big changing on the planet. From a very physical standpoint, I'm kind of like what my senator says, within 6 months you won't recognize the dollar. But in 6 months, we're going to be in World War III. When's it going to start? Could start this weekend, the way things are heating up. But October is a good time before the election. And they want to do it before the election because that way, whatever the president we have in force, whether it's Obama, who the Rockefellers want in, or otherwise, Obama's at the point is favored on this thing, so they're getting him in. But they're just as a scapegoat. They really have no power.
We've been told also that Chertoff has sort of a special position within this whole Illuminati rollout. Are you familiar with him, with what he is involved in and where he stands?
No, I don't know what kind of payoffs that they do. You know, when you start running around with the players that are up on top, they, as Kissinger says, the absolute aphrodisiac is power. And so as long as you're willing to set up in front and be responsible for it, they'll reward you. It's kind of like the old, you know, the Skull and Bones group. When the skull points you, you can run around within that area, but you always put somebody else to be the fall guy out there. And I'm not privy, frankly, to some of the information that's going on with Chertoff, nor am I privy to what's going on with the War College, if you want to look at it. But I do have some people leaking out information to me occasionally. My CIA friends are unfortunately out of the country right now. They said they're safe.
Okay, but do you really think that, for example, Ecuador and South America is safe? I understand it's safe from the nuclear winds, so to speak. But there are other issues down there, like, if, for example, if the economy goes down there, and you've got an indigenous population, and they're not white, and they're easy to spot. You've got these communities. They basically are going to become fortresses, right? And there's also the issue about the volcanic question.
Well,
the volcanoes get triggered by the movement of Planet X getting closer and the sun getting triggered. What happens?
Well, you know, I look at all of Latin America because the only country I did have not visited at any time was Chile. The rest of them, I can understand why, you know, like Bush just bought a bunch of property in Paraguay. Ted Turner has all kinds of property in Argentina. When you look at it, Ecuador is about the physical size of about the size of Colorado. The volcanoes are active down there. Well, we have volcanoes that are semi-active up here in some way. I mean, Yellowstone Park is semi-active if you look at it. I mean, it's venting all the time, so it keeps the pressure off. But what we're looking at down in Ecuador, you can pick a climate and pick an elevation, pick a location, either away from them. My understanding, that's going to be okay. The indigenous people, they kind of stay away from everything. There are more European ethnically background in Ecuador. Obviously, the problem with Ecuador is the language is all Spanish, and unless you speak Spanish, it's a little harder. And there are groups over there that are setting up. But it's a very friendly country. And you don't have the problems that you have in other ones where they're building, like going to Mexico City. When you go to Mexico City, you see everybody have bars on the windows. I didn't see many of those anywhere in Ecuador. People are not out, you know, not that there's not petty thievery, that's everywhere. I mean, it's even, go to Washington, D.C. In our country right now, there's more people killed every month by gunfire in Washington, D.C. than in Iraq. And
really,
you can't
that's
go
incredible.
Out. Oh, it's true. And I won't go to Washington, D.C. at nighttime and walk on the streets. You almost have to have a bodyguard, and they tell you that.
Okay, but what about, I mean, you're talking about food shortages. You're talking about the dollar going down. I mean, South America has got to be affected by that. Aren't their economies going to be affected?
Well, I happen to know that I just talked yesterday that the people down in Ecuador and the president down there is working on a new currency in order to replace the dollar. I'm talking with people in Panama right now to create something like that. But Panama has always been on the dollar. There's only three currencies in the world, you know, and that's at this minute has been gold, oil, and drugs. And I'm not in any one of those things other than buying gold. Oil, I am in the oil business indirectly because I used to be an officer of King Resources or Recovery Resources. That's John King, which was the first oil billionaire that had the offshore oil up in Alaska. And we've drilled oil wells. I've done all the rest of it. And oil, there's plenty of oil. It's just the cost of getting it out of the ground. And the cost today, from the physical point, is around $80 a barrel. Then the other costs to it are the distribution and everything else that's going on to get the things back up. And it's probably back up to $150 a barrel before long to get along with the world at this minute. Meanwhile, look, the Saudi Arabia walked away from OPEC meeting the other day. Tell me, just flat out walked away. Now, that's setting the prices on it. So when they start to watch the news, I really have to everybody look at it. Look at it. It's a huge play. Try to put together the pieces that are going on as they feed to you in the news because they feed you the information. It's like a movie.
Yeah, it's also reading between the lines, especially when they protest too much. That's when it becomes really dangerous. Okay, well, George, this is very disheartening in certain ways. Do you have any tips for what may be called the ground crew, for people that are awake, know what's going on, and actually what they can do?
Well, the only good suggestion I've had, I've got people up in a little community up here. They've all, that's kind of ground crew people, have formed a community within the community and have been advising all their friends, because a lot of their people won't listen to them, as you know. And what they're doing is that they've set it up, when everything falls apart, their little community will be sustained by itself, because you're going to have water and electricity and everything else. But if the whole community will get behind a few people that know what the knowledge is, because they'll come forth at that point. In other words, you got a community of 3,000-4,000 people, maybe there's 50 or 100 that know what's really happening. They can organize themselves, not setting yourself as a target out here in a small community, but making the whole community aware of it through whatever kind of information they can transfer, because that's the key.
What do you think about the Internet? How long is this going to hang out there and be available to the average person, do you think? Is it going to be affected by, you know, the dollar going down?
Oh, of course. They're going to be at some point shutting the thing down. The Internet itself, is like China, it won't allow a lot of our information to go over there. They shut it down. So you know it's able for them to shut it down. But also the power generation in order to even get to it. You use some of the Internet for communication throughout the world, you know, i.e. Skype, etc. I don't know how long that's going to continue on. When that happens, you're going to see commerce basically collapse, because this has all changed. All the networks are all going to the Internet. We're not going to have programmed TV other than through the Internet.
Now, we have started this website called ProjectAvalon.net, and we've got a forum on there. We've got people exchanging information about resources, networking, building small communities, this sort of thing. It's really taking off in a huge way. We'd love to have you come on there and you know, sort of advise people whenever you felt the inclination. And certainly we're going to be putting this audio interview on there. I know you were on Coast the other night, and basically you've been out there for quite a long time sort of trying to wake people up. Where are you at now with all this, personally? Are you ready to leave the country? Are you still going to hang in here?
Well, the ETs told me to wait, but I am packed and ready to go, and I've liquidated all my real estate holdings that I've had, and I'm just in a preparation mode to get ready to get away from harm's way. But at this minute, I'm still planning on doing lectures in different communities across the United States while I can still go, because we still have to waken a few people up. There's a lot of people out here that will be awakened when the chaos starts. And remember, out of the chaos, we'll create something new.
Well, do you feel that you can give any kind of sense of hope for something that might emerge? In other words, waking the people up is one thing. We're actually talking about group meditations and things that can change the entire consciousness of the planet and redirect the energy into a more positive place. Because once you wake people up, that's really what it's about. Do you think that has any basis in the future? And have you thought about that?
My understanding is that there's too few to make any significant difference, and the question is on how you can be in direct contact to act as the hands and feet at this level through the transition. And meditation and prayer and asking for these things is generally on a self-survival mode, and what we have to look at is a group thing. What can we do? The planet's going to take care of itself. What we have to do is look at mankind, and how can we get information and receive the information on a direct basis. People should be on a direct information from what we call the, if you want to call it the universal mind or God, however you view that, of the thought. Again, we're thought made manifest. So the question is, the manifestation, this play, is totally out of whack, Gary. And I know we have to go through the chaos. And we're not going to be able to stop the chaos, because it just doesn't make sense when you look at what we're doing to the planet itself. So if you're asking me what's going to happen, I do have some extraterrestrial information that basically is saying we're going to have World War III begin right away. I keep watching some things on the West Coast, though. I think that the West Coast earthquake is going to occur before the war begins, so that could happen momentarily.
Well, I have to say that I've been getting some psychic information the same way, but I'd like to have a more positive outlook here. I do believe we are getting a coalition of information about a possible natural event during the month of October.
Exactly. As a comment, that could happen. Carrie, I'm totally concurring. I'm just telling you that my research, you know, I talked to the FEMA guy down in Arizona. He said, we're preparing for only 100,000 Californians. We can't take any more than that when this happens. I was in Sacramento. The television people over there, they want to go out and take pictures of the dam going because there won't be any water in Southern California. Get ready for changes. Whatever you believed in, you're going to have to be responsible. The word is responsible. The responsibility is for each individual to take the information, do some research, go on the internet, do whatever you can for each of the ones that particularly fit you, the way what your reality is. Try to get your family awakened, and that's a hard job, and your friends. Those that you can, surround yourself with people of like minds to support each other, and that's the way we're going to have to do it, Carrie.
Okay, well, I have to agree with you. I also say on the positive side, though, for all the work we've been doing to awaken people, when the economy goes down, you're going to see people wake up real fast.
That's right.
You know, these are the kinds of things with the hard knocks. Yep. Some people just require that in order to wake up.
You got it. That's the reason why we're going into this dilemma.
I think so. That really is talking about the world. Okay, well, thank you, George Green. This has been a very wonderful overview, really, of just about everything that's going on out there. Bill Ryan is on the other end of the line here, and I just want to give him a chance to say whatever it is he might want to say or a question that he might want to ask.
Thank you very much, Kerry. There's nothing that I need to say or add to this very comprehensive overview. Within 5 minutes, I'm going to start editing this, and we're going to get this very important information out to all the members of the ground crew who we're in touch with. And we've got a lot of people out there, George, who are hanging on your words because they're looking for direction, they're looking for information, they're looking for leadership, they're looking for information that they can trust in a morass of misinformation, both deliberate and accidental, that they get on the news. And more, it seems that what we're able to provide is something that people consider to be very valuable, and we thank you for your part in that.
Well, I thank both of you guys. You're putting your necks out, running around the world, and it bless you, and I love you both.
Likewise, and take care, George, all right?
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. This has been Carrie Cassidy and Bill Ryan talking to George Green, September 22nd, 2008.